Pastor Bob is filling the pulpit in Weir's Cave, at Weir's Cave United Methodist Church. We're having pulpit exchange today. And so we're welcoming the Reverend Stephen Creech.
This morning is from Luke 24, 13 to 35. This is the NIV version, and if you want to read along, it's in your Pew Bible, page 90 of the New Testament. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Caiaphas, said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now we welcome Dr. Creech to come and speak with us. And I tell you what, you're in for a delightful and moving surprise.
I'm not sure I can live up to all of that.
Push yourself.
Indeed so, only by the grace of God. Good morning. It is indeed good to be with you here in the house of the Lord today, day that God has given to us to rejoice and to be glad and to share in. We're thankful to be sharing with you today. I should begin by telling you a couple of things. 2 weeks ago on April the 14th, had back surgery. There are but a few truths in life, Jesus Christ being the greatest truth of all. But when you go to talk with doctors, you don't always get the whole truth. In fact, sometimes you only get bits and pieces. The original date for my surgery was June 1st, and my daughter is getting married June the 10th. And so I said to the doctor, I said, now, Doc, said, if we have the surgery, said, I'll be able to walk my daughter down the aisle. Yeah, you'll be fine. Everything will be great. Well, we had a cancellation, so they moved the surgery up to Good Friday. I said, yes. Well, had this been June the 1st, I would not be very happy. And I think my daughter would be less happy because I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to do all the things that we wanted to do for the wedding. So with that comes also some of those things that, you know, when you prep for those surgery things and they tell you all that's going to happen and you talk to the anesthesiologist and he says, you know, we're going to put the tube down your throat and you're going to go to sleep and you're going to wake up and everything's going to be great. You've heard those stories as well, right? And so I explained to the doctor that in 2004 I had the surgery and it didn't go so well with that. In fact, they sent me to an ENT afterwards to make sure there was not a blockage and everything came back clear. It took me about 2 years to get over that one. The flap that goes over the esophagus, they scraped that. So every time I ate afterwards, I coughed a lot. So this time when I woke up from surgery, I had a blister on this lip and a blister on this lip. And I haven't been able to talk very well for 2 weeks now and been praying that today it would hold. And so far, so good. We're holding. The voice is holding so far, but I noticed it's starting to squeak a little bit, so I apologize if that comes and goes some, but we're praying that it will stay with us, at least for another 45 minutes. Let us pray. God, once again, we thank you that it is by your grace that all things come to be, all things are. It is by your grace that we live and breathe and have life. And we give ourselves to you in these moments as we worship you, praying that you will use us, that you will prepare us, that you will journey with us, that we might always be your servants. So now, may I step aside that you may be seen, that you may be heard, that your message may be made known. In the name of Jesus, amen. The large animals were having a football game with the small animals. Large animals, of course, being the elephant, the rhino, the tiger. The small animals, of course, being the centipede, the grasshopper. You get the picture of large animals, small animals. And halftime, the large animals were ahead 58-0. Small animals had not scored at all. So the second half of the game begins, and the tiger has the ball, and as soon as the play is called, wham, tiger goes down. Coach calls the tiger and says, what happened? Said, who made that play? And the tiger said, it was a centipede. Said, the centipede? Said, all right, elephant gets the ball the next time. So the play begins, play is called, and wham, the elephant goes down. Coach calls the elephant and says, what happened out there? Said, who made that play? The elephant said, it was a centipede. A centipede? What is going on with the centipede? We'll fix that centipede. The rhino gets the ball the next time. Rhino, big. You can't stop the rhino. And as soon as the play is called, wham, rhino goes down. And says, what happened, rhino? And so rhino says, it was a centipede. So the coach goes over to the other team and he finds the centipede and he says, all right, what's going on here? Where were you in the first half of this game? And the centipede said, I was in the locker room. Said, I was putting my shoes on. We spend a lot of time putting our shoes on. You know, it is necessary. But I've learned a few things. I'm one of those slow learners, so it takes me a while. It takes a while for those things to settle in. But a little bit of a side note for you. With the surgery thing, putting your shoes on is a difficult task when you have back problems. Those of you who've had, putting shoes on, that is a challenge. I don't tie shoes anymore. You just tie them once, leave them tied, slip them on and off. And socks are even worse than shoes. And so this time they gave me this little device. It's a little three-prong device thing. Has a long strap on it, and you pull your sock up on the device, and you put it on your foot, and you use that strap, and it pulls it up for you. That is the best device they have ever created, especially for people with bad backs. We can spend a lot of time putting shoes on. And while it might be necessary, how much time does it take to put your shoes on? Tourist was visiting Switzerland, and he was in the little town where the famous theologian Karl Barth lived. And one day he jumped on the streetcar, and he happened to sit down right beside Karl Barth, but he didn't know it was Barth. And they began the conversation, and Karl Barth says to the tourist, says, "Hey, you're visiting our little city. How do you like it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Of all the things you'd like to do or see in our little town, what would make you most happy?" And the tourist says, "Oh, if I could just meet the famous theologian Karl Barth." Said, "You wouldn't happen to know him, would you?" And Karl says, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I shave his face every day." And the tourist gets off of the streetcar, and he's making notes of his visit to the city, and he makes a note of his streetcar ride, and he makes a note and says, "This morning, I got to meet Karl Barth's barber." It's right there in front of us, but we miss it. We're too busy putting on our shoes. In the gospel reading for this morning, two men are making their way back home to Emmaus. They are leaving Jerusalem. They've probably been in Jerusalem for all the festivities, and now they're going back home. They're depressed. A lot of things have happened, and they're depressed. You can imagine. Jesus has just been put to death. They're on their way back home, and they're joined by a third man. And it's Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus. It's a stranger to them. And Jesus says to them, "Hey guys, what have you been talking about?" And they begin to tell him all the things that have happened. And they say to Jesus, "Are you the only one who doesn't know about all of these things? Everybody knows about what's been happening." And then Jesus begins to tell them about the Messiah and all the things that should have happened. And then he says to them, "You who are slow to believe." And they come to the end of their journey, and Jesus is going on, and they're going to their home, and they invite Jesus to come and be with them. "It's evening. You don't have to travel. Come and be with us." And Jesus goes into their home, and they have dinner. And when Jesus picks up the bread and gives thanks, and he breaks the bread and he gives it to them, then they see that it's Jesus. You see, the two men on the road to Emmaus have been putting their shoes on. They've been so busy with all the things that have been happening that they even missed Jesus walking with them on the road. They didn't even recognize it was Jesus. Didn't know it was him until he broke bread with them. They were so busy with all the other things of life. Any of you ever get busy with life? And we so often miss the important things. You know, the really good things of life. Now that was a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Any of you walk 7 miles? I know some avid walkers who will do 3-5 miles. Any walks up, that is a long way, 7 miles. And they'd walk 7 miles. And in the time of Jesus, walking 7 miles is pretty dangerous, even in the daylight. But it's the end of the day. They've just had dinner with Jesus, and Jesus has disappeared now. And they turn and look at each other and say, "Were not our hearts warmed when he was talking to us? Were we not burning inside when he was with us?" And so they get up. Evening has come. and they make their way back to Jerusalem, another 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Why? Why in thunder? You know, if it were me, I would be thinking, tomorrow's coming, it's another day. We can wait till tomorrow, right? We can make this journey tomorrow. What could be so important that I'd have to get back up and walk? You know, I'm already tired from walking the first 7 miles. Now I'm going to make my way all the way back again. Why? Do you think maybe these two disciples had to go back to convince all the other disciples about Jesus? I mean, after all, you remember the events of that day. Mary had already seen Jesus, and she went and told the disciples, and what did they do? They didn't believe her. In fact, Peter and John run down to the tomb, and they look in, and they still don't believe. They still don't get it. And so do you think that these two disciples have to go all the way back to Jerusalem to convince the disciples that Jesus has risen? I mean, they didn't believe anyone else so far. Why would they believe these two? Well, you see, I think, and this is just me, but I think that these two disciples, and you and I, it's not our task to convince people. It's our task to deliver the message. It's our task to tell the story. These disciples had something wonderful happen to them, and they had to tell somebody. Any of you have children? And when your children were born, did you wait a week before you sent out the announcement that your child was born? Or grandchildren, if you have grandchildren, do you like wait a couple of days before you tell anybody? And especially with modern technology, the cell phones are just buzzing. When I was having surgery, again, a little side note, my wife, Debbie, she had her cell phone on one knee, my cell phone on another, and she was going back and forth. Just, you know, I'm glad we don't have Facebook, because I'm not sure what I'd like to find on Facebook after that. But we don't wait to tell that news. We want everybody to know the good news is happening. And these two disciples had something wonderful happen to them. They walked all the way back in the darkness, in the danger of being beaten and robbed, because that's what happened in the time of Jesus. And they made their way all the way back so that they could tell their friends, tell the other disciples what had happened to them. They didn't have to convince them. They just had to be faithful in telling their story. You see, we spend a lot of time putting our shoes on trying to convince people. We want everyone to come to Verona Church. We want everyone to come to Bridgewater Church. We don't care if you become a disciple or not. We want you to come to our church. We want you to put your shoes on like we do. Come and put your shoes on with us. Instead of, we want you to be a disciple. And then if you love us enough and want to walk that road with us at Verona or Bridgewater or Weir's Cave or wherever it might be, then you are welcome to walk that road with us. We'd love to have you journey with us. But first you have to believe. And that's up to God. The Bible tells us, I am the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. See, we don't have to convince them. That's up to God. We have to be faithful in telling who we are, telling our story. Yugoslavian judge was taking a bath. He reached up to turn his light on. When he did, he was electrocuted. His wife found him on the bathroom floor. They pronounced him dead. They took him to the crypt at the cemetery, where he would stay overnight before they would prepare the body the next day. In the middle of the night, the judge woke up. He wasn't dead. He ran over to the guard at the gate. The guard saw him, was scared to death, and took off running. Later, he returned with a friend. It's always good to have friends with you, especially when you go to the cemetery with dead people rising. And so he took a friend with him and was convinced that the judge was indeed alive, and they let him out. The judge decided it would probably be a good thing to call his wife and let her know what's happening. So he gets on the phone and he calls his wife, says, "Hi, honey, it's me." She faints, passes out. And so then he begins to call family and friends to tell them that he's alive, and no one believes him. So finally he figures that there's this friend who lives out of town who hasn't heard of his death, and he calls him And then this friend who hasn't heard of his death begins to convince the other family and friends that indeed the judge is alive. Have you ever tried to convince somebody? Have you ever tried to get somebody to believe what you believe? I can't do it with my children. Sometimes I have trouble convincing myself, even of what I believe. You know, because there's so much stuff out there, and every time you think that you've got it down, you know, I think I have this thing down about theology. Nah, it's not clear. You know, I think I have this thing down about life. No, life changes. I don't have that down. Just when I think I've got it figured out, I don't. Have you ever tried to convince somebody about what you believe? But you know, I can stand up here and tell you stories all day long, and we can laugh, and we can share together, and we can have a good time about my life stories, because I have some pretty interesting stories. And you know what? You have some pretty interesting stories too. I have lots of miracles that have happened to me in my life that I'd love to share with you. And we could spend tons of sermons talking about those miracles, but I like to hear your miracles too, because I know that you have those miracles because we are people of faith. And you don't have to convince me about Jesus. I know Jesus, and I know that he's alive. And I don't have to convince you, and I don't have to convince the world, but I do have to be faithful in telling the world about Jesus, my Jesus, that person who is Lord of my life. I have that gift to tell, that story that I have to tell all the world. And if I'm not excited about my stories, how can I excite you? And if you're not excited, how are you going to excite the world? We spend a lot of time putting our shoes on, getting ready to tell the story. We spend a lot of time printing bulletins and preparing worship and getting everything just right. You know, I don't know that I've ever been to a worship service yet where it went completely flawless, ever. Thing is, we usually don't know about it, which is probably good. We spend a lot of time putting our shoes on. We spend a lot of time with the gospel right here in front of us, where we usually don't tell anybody. We don't journey with other people in the faith. And that's really what Jesus calls us to do, isn't it? That's what Jesus does for us. That's what he did for these two men walking to Emmaus. He came and joined with them and shared with them. And when he was finished sharing with them, they were so excited that they had to go tell somebody else. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church could be that excited about our faith story? And we say, you know, well, nobody wants to hear my story. And we say that all the time, right? Nobody wants to hear about that. Really and truly, that is what we want to hear, isn't it? We want to know about what's happening in your life. We want to know what God is doing for you. We want to have those intimate moments together where we share those things about life that most of the time we never share with anyone. Because it's in those moments where Jesus becomes real. It's in those moments where we're no longer putting on shoes. We are in the game and we are winning because we're alive for Jesus. What story will you tell this week? Who will you include in your journey? Who will you walk with on the road of life and make a difference and make the world and your life and the gospel real and enjoyable and fun and exciting, all because of Jesus, all in the name of Jesus? Amen.